In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be God, blessed be God, blessed be God forever. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to celebrate this Sunday time of listening to God's Word together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Turn your eyes, O God, our shield, and look on the face of your anointed one. One with day within your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be doing like a liturgy of the word today. I don't know. We may do part of the divine office at the end, but mostly a liturgy of the word. My brothers and sisters, let us take a moment to acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault, therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us, poor sinners. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you. We glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King. O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises, which surpass every human desire. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In those days, the princes said to the king, Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin. King Zedekiah answered, He is in your power, for the king could do nothing with them. So they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Prince Malchiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed Melchek, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, My lord king, these men have been at fault in all that they have done to the prophet Jeremiah. Casting him into the cistern, he will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city. Then the king ordered Ebed Melech, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 40. Lord, come to my aid. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, the Lord heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a crag. He made firm my steps. Lord, come to my aid. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look on in awe and trust in the Lord. Lord, come to my aid. Though I am afflicted and poor, yet the Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, hold not back. Lord, come to my aid. Let us persevere in running the race that lies before us. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, part 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them and they follow me. Alleluia. Alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to take the opportunity at this point to listen to the Divine Office readings, and also to pray one additional psalm. There is but one lawgiver and judge. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Psalm 82 is our prayer. It's real short. God stands in the divine assembly. In the midst of the gods, he gives judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and favor the cause of the wicked? Do justice for the weak and the orphan. Defend the afflicted and the needy. Rescue the weak and the poor. Set them free from the hand of the wicked. Unperceiving, they grope in the darkness. And the order of the world is shaken. I have said to you, you are gods, and all of you, sons of the Most High. And yet you shall die like men. You shall fall like any of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you rule all the nations. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. There is but one lawgiver and judge. Who are you to judge your neighbor? It's actually a really interesting divine office reading. It's the vocation call to be a prophet of the prophet Isaiah from the very first book of part of the book of Isaiah that scholars call First Isaiah. Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The call of the prophet. In the year King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. Each of them had 6 wings. With 2 they veiled their faces, with 2 they veiled their feet, and with 2 they hovered aloft. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of armies. They cried one to the other, all the earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, I am doomed. For I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it. See, he said, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, I said, send me. And he replied, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but you shall not understand. Look intently, but you shall not know nothing. You are to make the heart of this people sluggish, to dull their ears and close their eyes, else their eyes will see, their ears hear, their heart understand, and they will turn and be healed. How long, O Lord, I asked. And he replied, until the cities are desolate without inhabitants, houses without a man, and the earth is a desolate waste, until the Lord removes men far away, and the land is abandoned more and more. If there be still a tenth part of it, then this in turn shall be laid waste, as with a tenebrith or an oak, whose trunk remains when its leaves have fallen. Holy offspring is the trunk. Responsory prayer. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. All the earth is full of his glory. The seraphim cried out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. All the earth is full of his glory. And for our tradition reading, we reflect a little bit on what it means to be set on fire with love for God, to be the salt of the earth. From a homily on Matthew by St. John Chrysostom, Bishop. You are the salt of the earth. It is not for your own sake, he says, but for the world's sake that the word is entrusted to you. For I am not sending you into 2 cities only, or 10 or 20, not even to a single nation, as I sent the prophets of old, but across land and sea, so that the whole world, and that world is in a miserable state. For when he says, you are the salt of the earth, he is indicating that all mankind has lost its savor and has been corrupted by sin. Therefore, he requires of these men those virtues which are especially useful and even necessary if they are to bear the burdens of many. For the man who is kindly, modest, merciful, and just will not keep his good works to himself, but will see to it that these admirable fountains send out their streams for the good of others. Again, the man who is clean of heart, a peacemaker, and ardent for truth, will order his life so as to contribute to the common good. Do not think, he says, that you are destined for easy struggles or unimportant tasks. You are the salt of the earth. What do these words imply? Did the disciples restore what had already turned rotten? Not at all. Salt cannot help what is already corrupting. That is not what they did. But what had first been renewed and freed from corruption and then turned over to them, they salted and preserved in the newness the Lord had bestowed. It took the power of Christ to free men from the corruption caused by sin. It was the task of the apostles through strenuous labor to keep that corruption from returning. Have you noticed how, bit by bit, Christ chose them to be superior to the prophets? He says they are to be teachers not simply for Palestine, but for the whole world. Do not be surprised, then, he says, that I address you apart from the others and involve you in such a dangerous enterprise. Consider the numerous and extensive cities, peoples, and nations I will be sending you to govern. For this reason, I would have you make others prudent as well as being prudent yourselves. For unless you can do that, you will not be able to sustain even yourselves. If others lose their savor, then your ministry will help them regain it. If you yourself suffer that loss, you will drag others down with you. Therefore, the greater the undertakings put into your hands, the more zealous you must be. For this reason, he says, but if the salt becomes tasteless, how can its flavor be restored? It is good for nothing now but to be thrown out and trampled by men's feet. When they heard the words, when they curse and persecute you and accuse you of every evil, they may be afraid to come forward. Therefore, he says, unless you are prepared for that sort of thing, it is in vain that I have chosen you. Curses shall necessarily be your lot, but they shall not harm you, and will simply be a testimony to your constancy. If through fear, however, you fail to show the forcefulness your mission demands, your lot will be much worse, for all will speak evil of you and despise you. That is what being trampled by men's feet means. When he passes on to a more exalted comparison, you are the light of the world, once again, of the world, not of one nation or 20 cities, but of the whole world. The light, he means, is an intelligible light, far superior to the rays of the sun we see, just as the salt is a spiritual salt. First salt, then light, so that you may learn how profitable sharp words may be, and how useful serious doctrine. Such teaching holds in check and prevents dissipation. It leads to virtue and sharpens the mind's eye. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket. Here again he is urging them to a careful manner of life, and teaching them to be watchful, for they live under the eyes of all and have the whole world for the arena of their struggles. And again, that could be serving as a nice homily on mass readings on Sundays. Many times they do put that in there with a view toward commenting on the mass reading. Again, it's kind of difficult because John's reflection is written from the perspective of analyzing the priesthood. He analyzes the charism of the apostles specifically in light of his own experience of being a bishop and being a priest. So he's really focused on kind of the special mission of the apostles. But still, he comments on what it means to be light, what it means to be salt. And of course, the point here is that Jesus is saying that household of five is going to be divided 2 against 3 and 3 against 2, because 2 of them will believe in Christ and 3 of them will believe against Christ, and the gospel is going to set the entire situation on fire because it demands radical changes, shifts in values. And, you know, this is really relevant. This is where it's really relevant to understand that this is a saying of Jesus that's interpreted in light of the early church, you know. It's still true today, even in our leisurely little churches, right? That the gospel, if it's really lived out, can make us very uncomfortable. But in their time, it really was true that their lives were at risk, that they truly were persecuted, even by family members, and thrown out. In the first century, especially as you started seeing more and more of a hostility between the church and the synagogue, and ultimately even between the church and the Roman government. But also, you know, it's just a truism that if you progress, you can become very annoying to people. If you progress spiritually, you can become very, very annoying to people because you remind them of what they're not doing. God our Father, let's profess our faith in the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed. I believe in God. It's the wrong creed. Where is it? In my little booklet. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers of the Faithful. Suggested prayers of the faithful. Whenever we seek the Lord, He answers and delivers us from our fears. Trusting in the Father's love, we now pray. Whenever we seek the Lord, He answers and delivers us from our fears. Trusting in the Father's love, we now pray that the Church will continue to make known the truth, mercy, and love of Jesus, teaching the fullness of the gospel, that those who hold public office may imitate the goodness of the Lord, who secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. For an increase of vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life. For the elderly, that God may help them in their needs and be always close to them in His love. That our parish may grow in holiness through the graces of the Eucharist. For the grace this week to have hearts on fire with the love of Jesus. For Bill, for Henry, for their needs, for Julia, for Father Rob, for Father Jim, for their intentions. That we may all be filled with peace. Loving Father, You watch over each of us in our troubles. Help us to understand what is Your will, to trust You and to stay close to You. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, who have prepared for those who love You good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of Your love, so that loving You in all things and above all things, we may attain Your promises which surpass every human desire. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let's also pray for the Pope's monthly intentions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I'm going to try to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for all of you later. In the meantime, I offer plenary indulgence or partial indulgence for the soul in purgatory. May he or she be released in help who needs God's mercy the most. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.